Tonight is Monday, February 18th, or ninth day of the month of Adar. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Sukkah Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis.
Okay, Rabbatai. We're on Daf Mem Tes Amud Bet. And the last Gemara we learned was about four lines from the where the lines get wide on Mem Tes Amud Beis, concerning Pokikin es Hashitin, and there are numerous halachos that are emerge from this particular two-three lines of the Gemara. So let's just read the line again. Amar Resh Lakish, Bizman Sheminaskin Yayin Agabe Amizbeach, Pokikin es Hashitin. When they would pour the wine on the Mizbeach, they would like clog up the sheetin, put a stopper in the sheetin, so that the pipe of the sheetin would look like a full, like when you're swallowing, when you have a very, very full, a huge volume of liquid. L'kayem mashene'emar bakodesh haseich nesech sheichar l'ashem. That which is kodesh, pouring wine, sheichar l'ashem. My mashma, well, what is this? How does this mean anything? Amrav Papa, sheichar l'ashon shesia, l'ashon svia, and l'ashon shikrus. The word sheichar means drink, to be satiated, and to get intoxicated. So Amrav Papa, shma mina, kisava inish, chamra, mikisava inish, when a person gets satiated, chamra, from wine, it's megrone sava. He doesn't get full from filling it in his stomach, but rather in his throat. That's what generates the feeling of being satiated. Amarava, tsurba merabanan, delo nefisha lechamra. Any rabbinic scholar who unfortunately is poverty stricken and doesn't have a lot of wine, if he really wants to enjoy the wine, what does he do? Ligma gimue. He pours it down his throat and he just, you know, like goggles it in his throat, and that'll make him feel really good. Because the feeling, the ecstasy of wine is not generated when it enters your stomach, but rather as it goes down your palate, down your stomach, down your throat. That's when you really feel it. And it's similar, and it's the same halacha of the sheetin. When they would go ahead and clog up the sheetin, so what would happen? It would bulge. And when you bulge, it looks like you're like you have a lot of, in your throat is bulging because you have a lot of liquid in it, and would generate that type of impression on the Mizbeach. So if you take your little packet here, and you'll take the end of the packet, I photostated some pictures of where the sheetin are, and to take care of a Rambam, on the next to the last page, on the next to the last page, where you'll see where it says in the Masifta Gemara, the pack, the picture's right there. So you see in that diagram, you're looking at the Mizbeach, and those two bowls are the two sfalim made out of silver, and the sheetin are two little holes that are on the Mizbeach that go all the way down. And all the way, you know, based on one opinion last week, go all the way down to the center of the earth, to the dome. Fine. Now, so what they would do is, they would somehow, now, there is a spout, from the Seifel that leads directly into the sheetin. You pour the water, pour the wine into the sfalim, and then you, there is a little spout coming out of it, and you turn it that way, And that's what they, according to many Rishayim, it's not that you actually create this clogged up feeling in the Shitin, because they're in the Mizbeach itself. How are you going to create that effect? What you did was, on the nozzle of the Sfalim, which are now hooked into the Shitin. If you look on the diagram of the Svalim, you see a little on the left hand side, it's not as clear in the black and white, but on the color it is, there's a little nozzle over there, isn't that, is that true? Yeah. So that nozzle is what is with which the wine goes from the bucket, the Svalim, into the Shitin. Now if you take that nozzle, any nozzle that you have, when you have a tube and you tie it, what's going to happen is going to get a big balloon-like. And that's exactly what it's talking about, to create that balloon-like look as it's entering the Shitin, to generate the impression that this is the way a wealthy person would be pouring his wine. Now, the Rambam never quoted this halacha of poking in a Shitin. Never quoted this halacha. And the Aruch Laner wants to know, why didn't the Rambam quote this halacha of Shitin, of poking in a Sashitin? And he suggests that the diagram that we have here is only true during Bayis Sheni. In Bayis Sheni, the Shitin were actually on the Mizbeach itself. However, in Bayis Rishon, and they would pour the wine directly from the Seifel into the Shitin, which are right in front of your nose, right over there. However, in Bayis Rishon, that was not the case. Flip to the next page, or the back of this page, and here you have another diagram. And if you look on the left-hand side of the page, you have a diagram of the Mizbeach. A bird's eye view, a helicopter view of the Mizbeach. Now if you look around, you will see there is nothing there that even approximates or looks like any Shitin. Is that true? Nothing there. Why? Because during Bayis Rishon, the Shitin were not on the Mizbeach at all. They were directly underneath what is called the Yesod. On the bottom left-hand side, there is something called the Yesod. And the Yayin would be poured into the Yesod, and from there would go directly into the Shitin, all the way down to the center of the earth. So therefore, the Aruch Laner says, how would the Rambam quote a halacha, which during the first Beis HaMikdash didn't exist? So if the halacha doesn't exist during the first Beis HaMikdash, he obviously doesn't consider it an imperative halacha. And it was done, for what reason? They did it nice, by a shani, very nice. But it's obviously not me'akev, and hence the Rambam does not use it. And that's how the Aruch Laner explains it, by claiming that during Bayis Rishon, as the picture indicates, there were no Shitin on the Mizbeach. That was an addition during Bayis Sheni, when they lengthened or they widened the Mizbeach by an additional 4 Tfachim, and they decided to put the Shitin. So the first picture that you see was a picture from Bayis Sheni and not necessarily from Bayis Rishon, and hence the Rambam chooses to omit it completely. Omit it completely. Now, this, yes?
In Bayis Rishon, where do they actually pour?
On the Yesod. The Yesod goes, no, the Yesod is a little, it goes from, it's like a drain. The Yesod is like a drain.
Where is it?
It's like a channel.
What?
It's like a river around the side.
That was on the ground level?
Yes.
So where is the cone? He's pouring the white. He's not going on the top like in the...
Yeah, on that Sovev. That's correct.
So he's pouring all the way down.
That's correct.
Part of the sandwich base of just will follow in terms of the Shia.
Most probably Bayis Rishon, because Bayis Sheni was a poor imitation of Bayis Rishon. The Mizbeach, the menorah was made out of lead, not of gold. They were poverty stricken during Bayis Sheni. And they didn't make it, did not have the features until Herod came along and redecorated the Beis HaMikdash. But initially, when it was built by Ezra and Nehemiah, it was, in fact, there was some elder statesman who had seen the first Beis HaMikdash and now looked at it and says, this is a Beis HaMikdash. What? They were crying. That's correct. And they said, this is not Beis HaMikdash. Godol Yeb, right? Because spiritually, Am Yisrael were much more committed to Yahadut during Bayis Sheni than Bayis Rishon, and it was 10 years longer. So now there are several halachos that are emerge from Rava's statement that Rava said that the experience of wine is enjoyed when it's in your Yisrael. Good. So I photostated for you a couple of interesting statements. Whenever you have a Kaishal Bracha, how much are you supposed to drink of the Kaishal Bracha? Mole Lugmav. So the Mordechai says, where did Chazal get this Mole Lugmav shear from? Where did they get this shear from? And he quotes our Gemara as the basis of it. Now take a look at a Gemara. This is Gemara Yuma, Daf Pei Amud Beis. Asks the Gemara. We know that there are two different shiurim for Yom Kippur, for eating and drinking. Two different shiurim. In order to violate the Issa D'Oraisa of eating on Yom Kippur, you have to eat the size of a date, a koseves. It's one of the few Isuri Achila that are not measured by Kizayis. Normally, every Isur Achila, Trefa, Nevela, Shtatzen, Ramasin, and so on, everything is a Kizayis. By Yom Kippur, the Torah doesn't use the expression of Lo Tochal on Yom Kippur. It says, Asher Lo Te'une. So affliction, or taking away affliction, Kizayis is not going to take away the afflicted state. Hence, you will still be afflicted had you eaten the Kizayis. Hence, in order to violate the Easter, you have to eat a Kosevis. And how there is a different shear for drinking. How much do you have to drink? Mali Lugmav, in order to violate the Easter. And as you well know, Achila and Shtia are not Mitzdari on Yom Kippur. Somebody who has to eat pachas mekashir is allowed to eat, a kazai, less than an ounce of solid, and then liquid right away. You don't have to wait 9 minutes in between each eating and drinking. So Rav Maskif l'Rav Zeira, Maishna achila decholchad v'chad b'koseves. Why is it that when it comes to eating, it makes no difference who you are? The person with the most ferocious appetite, and somebody who's always on a diet eating absolutely nothing. It's one size fits all, namely a kosevis. Umaishna, the shia, the chol chav v'chad, bidi day. Every shear is a little different. My male lugmav is different than your male lugmav. How much liquid you can keep in your throat area is a lot different from person to person. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye answers, Kim lehu l'rabbanan, the Rabbanan have verified, b'koseves d'bahaki meisvadata, that you feel somewhat satisfied when you eat a koseves, batzer mehaki, if you eat less than the koseves, lo meisva. You don't feel satisfied, so you still feel as if you're afflicted. B'shtia, b'didei meisvodate, b'dechavra lo meisvodate. That which satiates me in drink doesn't necessarily satiate you. So the Mordechai says, points to our Gemara and says, where did Chazal get this business that the drink, at least by wine, is determined by the experience of the throat. Right here in our Gemara, that Gemue Ligma, that if you don't have a lot of wine, what did Rava say? Just chuck it up over here a little, gargle it a little, and you'll feel great, even though you don't have a lot. Because the stomach is not the determining factor based on yayin, but it is the sensation that is felt within the throat area. Furthermore, turn the page. This whole idea is actually subject to a machloikis Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. If you go to the next page, and many of Rishonim point out that our Gemara is not in harmony with this particular sugya that I'm going to show you now. There is, every single time that the Torah deals with an Issa d'Oraisa, in order to violate the Issa, you have to engage in a minimum shi'ur. However, if you eat less than a minimum shear, there's a machloikis, famous machloikis, between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, where the chatzi shear, osur min hatoira, or not. So Rav Yochanan is of the opinion, we're going to read it, it's bracketed for you, on daf ayin vav amad aleph, gufa, chatzi shear, Rav Yochanan omar, osur min hatoira. Reish Lakish Omar Mutter Min HaTorah. Rabbi Yochanan says that Chatzi Shir is also Min HaTorah.
Well, I understand this case of Chatzi Shir.
Okay, you ate a half a kezias of the veil of meat. Half a kezias of chametz.
Does he really mean Mutter, or just means you don't get punished?
It means Mutter Mit Oraisa, it's also Mit Rabbana. Mutter means Mutter Mit Oraisa. Sadek Mara says, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Osir Min HaTorah. Since if you eat a half a kezias, with 10 seconds later you can eat another half a kezias, and then you will have eaten a full kezias, so they are mitzarev. Since they are mitzarev, each half is considered machalos asuras. And therefore it's awesome. When Shlokish Amar Mutter Min HaTorah, Achila Omar Rahmana Veleka. The Torah says, you're not allowed to eat. Lo sochal kol nevelo, nevelo utrefa lo sochelu, kol machmetzes lo sochelu. So if you wind up eating just less than a kezias, that's not called eating. Hence, it's mutter. Fine. So many Rishonim have this test case according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says as follows, that if somebody went ahead and chewed a half a kezias and then spit it out. Okay? And then he ate, whatever he spit out, he put it back in his mouth and he ate it a second time. So he wound up eating a half a kezias, but he ate a half a kezias twice. Same half kezias. So many Rishonim say that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would be chayiv under that case. Why? Because on each chatzi zayis, there was hana'at grono. Hana'at grono. What does that mean? The throat enjoyed it. When he chewed the half a kezias of pork, he really enjoyed that. Then he spit it out. Then when he swallowed it, his throat enjoyed it again. Now that's talking about solids. Correct. So many point out that Rabbi Yochanan's position disagrees with our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that what, and the other sugya that we looked at, that the only thing that is generates hana'ah bigaron is what? Only liquids, wines. Here, Rabbi Yochanan clearly states that it's not only liquids, but it's solids as well. And that could be the core of the machloikis between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Rish Lakish, the only way to be chayiv is if you have hanoas meyav. In fact, that's what Rashi says. Hanoas meyav, you have to have in your stomach. So the fact that I put in my mouth a half kezias and then I put it back in, I still only have some total. I have only chatzi kezias of hanas meyav, and as a result, I would be potter. So this sugya in Yuma may not necessarily adopt our sugya here. That is Rabbi Yochanan's position.
He states that later on.
I'm not sure if he says it. I don't remember him saying it, or that's the way Rishonim interpreted his opinion. I'm not sure. Then, furthermore, if you go to the next page, is what I told you is the halacha of. This is in Hilchas Kiddush, in Hilchas Shabbos, in Simin Reishayin Gimel. So if you look at the tour, says the tour, Vishose, the top of the middle, the fourth line, the last line on that page, Vishose Mali Lugmav, Vimshasa Pachos Lo Yatsa. So the first opinion is that if you don't drink a mali lugmav of yayin, you're not yotze kiddush. And he goes on and says, "Well, lo yotze mamish." He changes his mind 2 seconds later. But nonetheless, many say he means exactly a mali lugmav. And again, the reason why mali lugmav is used is based on our Gemara. And in fact, if you turn to the next page for a second, you will see how the Ramah takes our halacha for another halacha. This whole business with the sheep. This is the Ramah in Kuf Pei Gimel. It's in the middle of Hilchas Suda. It talks about Berachas Hamazon. So I bracketed where it says the Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramah's commentary to the Torah. Kasa Rabbi Avraham Miprag Behagosav. V'yesh medaktikin she'ein lokin levarich berchas hamaz levarich hamazo ela kos rachav velo kos shepihu tsar. Some amakbid for benching purposes that when you have a kos, the mouth, the thing which you drink should be very wide, not narrow. Why? And many point out that what's the Ramah? Where does he get this from? Because the idea of a wide one is to generate the impression as if what? That the table was a mizbeach, and now you're downing the wine in the manner in which you would now down it into the sheetin, creating this bulging effect, opening it up, and let it all coming out at the same time. And as a result, some claim that this is the basis of this particular Ramah, who says that for Berchas Hamazon, you should always seek a kos with a wide top, not with a narrow top. So a Gemara that has seems to be a little insignificant turns out to be quite significant. Let me invite the Gemara. Now, the Gemara here is going to come into a little agadita. Just a little, so we'll do it. As opposed to Shabbos, where we had two blot of Gemara, and I wasn't about to spend, 6 weeks doing 2 weeks of agadita. Here, a couple of lines we can tolerate. Agadita is important, but you have to have the ability to interpret it. It is far more difficult to interpret agada properly than it is halacha, because halacha we're trained what to look for. You look at Rishonim, you see what the issues are. In agada, you have to be creative. You have to think about it, think about the implications and what the messages are. It's always with agada, and it's a little more difficult. The Rev, when he used to give the yardside share, I'm sure Rabbi Ryan will remember this. And Josh, it was even before my time, my father used to tell me, the yardside share used to be 4 or 5 hours. 2.5 hours was halacha. And then he would take a 5-minute break, 10-minute break, and say 2.5 hours of agadita. You know, in my day, it was only a 3-4 hour shiur, and he just said it's maybe a half hour, an hour at the end. It wasn't the whole chelik of Agada. But the Rav was a master darshan and took us, something in Agada to it, and he really brought it to life. But you have to have a special ability for that. So we are now.
No, you'll figure it out? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah?
Okay.
Because somebody listened to one of the shiur, we said the sound wasn't so good, I don't know. We're up, Dorash Rava. So Rava said, Darshan, my dechsev, mayafu po'amayich banolim bas nediv, a pasuk in Shira Shirim, how nice your steps are with your shoes, banet olim, bas nediv, drash, Mayafu pa'amosein shel Yisrael b'shoa she'olin l'regel. How nice it is to see when Am Yisrael walk by foot to be mekayem mitzvah aliyah l'regel. Very nice. Now we should not minimize the enormous sacrifice that somebody made to make aliyah l'regel. You're talking about going by foot with your whole family, 3 times a year, from the Be'er Sheva to Yerushalayim. It's lo yu'uman. It's hard to imagine how people would engage in that type of sacrifice. It's an enormous sacrifice to make Aliyah Ragel, take your whole family. And it's just, so Shlomo HaMelech is highlighting how nice Am Yisrael are.
We worry about a parking spot.
What?
We worry about a parking
That's
spot.
That's right. Bas Nediv. What does this refer to? Bito shel Avraham Avinu, shenikra Nediv. The children, the daughters of Avraham Avinu, who was called Nediv, shene'emar, Nedivei Amim ne'esafu, Am Elohei Avraham, Elohei Avraham, v'lo Elohei Yitzchak v'Yaakov. You mean to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only the God of Avraham and not Yitzchak and Yaakov? Elohei Avraham shahayatchila legerim. He's called Elohei Avraham because Avraham is the first to bring in others besides those in his family. So the Bas Nediv refers to not only members of Am Yisrael who came on Aliyah L'Regel, but even Gerim, converts as well, and they are offered the tribute of Bas Nediv, the daughters of Avraham Avinu. Others say the Aruch Laner actually points out that the reason why Elohei Avraham is mentioned here in context of Aliyah L'Regel is because Avraham was the first one to be makriv a korban on Har HaMoriah. He was the first one to make Aliyah L'Regel with Yitzchak, and so therefore he's credited with this particular.
You don't say Hevel was there too.
Hevel?
No.
I don't know.
Noah?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. Well, we get invited. Tana de Bei Rav Anan. May dechsiv chamukei yirechayich. Chamukei yirechayich. Lama nimshilu divrei Torah ki yerech? Lomar loch ma yerech baseser af divrei Torah baseser. Just as your yerech, your thigh can't be seen, so too Torah should be done benistar. So take a look, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Chamukei yerechayich. Hanistarim ki yerech. Shekvod ha-Torah bitzina. Velo yios yoshev vishone begova shel ir. You should not be sitting on any place on high. Velo lishanot l'talmidov bashuk. And don't give a shear in the marketplace. The Bashir should be in a place which is Sanua. Okay? Sanua. Yeah. V'hainu, the Amar Rabbi Lazar, my dichsiv, he gid licha adam mato, pasuk in Parshas Ekev, u'ma Hashem doresh mimcha, ki im asot mishpat, v'ahavat chesed, v'hatznei alechet im elokecha. Asot mishpat zehadin, v'avas chesed zumigmilas chasadim. V'hatznei alechas im elokecha, zu hotzoas hameis, v'hachnosas kala l'chupa. So here he says several things. Darshan's the pasuk, he gives him a tov mashad, he asos mishpat v'avas chesed. V'hatznei alechas im elokecha. So asos mishpat, that means din. Avas chesed is gemilas chasad. V'hatznei leches im elokecha zu hotzoas hameis v'achnosas kalo lechopa. So Rashi gives two interpretations as to what it means hotzoas hameis v'achnosas erchon lekar. Take a look at Rashi. Now, why does hatznei leches have to do, what's the connection to hotzoas hameis and to chopa? How does hatznei leches, to walk humbly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, Dichsiv b'hu leches, tov lo leches el beis avel, mi leches el beis mishkan. So Kohelet says it's better to go to a beit avel than it is to go to a party, to a beis mishkan. Af sham tzarich hatsneya lisod b'midon no'eh, v'lismoach b'midon no'eh, v'lo lehanhik kalus roish ba'atzma. So what does it mean here, hatsneya? Two things. Number one, don't have too an elaborate of a meal. Be a little more reserved, both for the meal of Avelus as well as for the meal of a chasan. And as well, never to engage in kalos roish. Not to engage in the type of activities which are inappropriate either at a beis avel or at a wedding. V'yesh omrim, im tsorich levazbeis lehotzoas meis ani o lehachnasas kala aniya ya'ase betzina. Or alternatively, says Rashi, if somebody is going to take funds, give funds to help for the burial of a poor person or hachnasas kala of a poor woman, do so in a dignified fashion where the person does not know about it, so they shouldn't feel beholden to you, or that you shouldn't be embarrassed, but rather do it modestly, bitzina, so that the person has no idea who is furnishing this for them. So that's also hatsneya leches im elokecha. Continues the Gemara. V'hai dvarim kal v'chaymer. U'ma dvarim shedarkon la'asosan b'farhesya. Omra Torah hatznei aleches. Dvarim shedarkon la'asosan b'tzina. Alachas kama v'kama. If these types of items, which are very public displays of chesed, hachnasas orche, hotzoas hameis, hachnasas kala, those are very public events. And nonetheless, we advise you to do something like that bitzina. Certainly, things which should be bitzina should obviously be done bitzina. If it's not necessarily these things, obviously, any type of tzedakah would be best if it's done what we call matan b'seser, that the person who gives the money should not know who the recipient is, and the recipient should not know who the person giving the money is. Okay, let me invite him. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Gadol ha'oset tztaka yoser mikol har karbanos. It is considered greater, or more significant for somebody to give tzedakah than any korban that he can possibly offer. Shine emar, ose tzedakah u mishpat, Nivchar Lashem Mizbeach. And that's always true. Tzedakah is always better than bringing a korban.
It's about kapara as an American kipper. What? It's better to give tzedakah than to do with the chicken.
1,000%. Make that 1,000,000%.
In this case, necessarily tzedakah or
personal.
Oh, you go to a
cult and. No. That's going to be his next interpretation. This is real tzedakah. Tzedakah, not come from tzedek, but real tzedakah. That it's better to give tzedakah than to bring a korban. Because by bringing a korban, you basically mehaneh hakadosh baruch hu. When you give
tzedakah, using the term haoseh, not hanoten.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What's the difference?
Because when you're doing tzedakah, you could say you're engaged in a decision, and you're engaged in making a deliberation based on tzedek. You don't say you give tzedakah. The Amar Rebbe Elazar, Gidoyla Gemilas Chasadim Yosim Minat Tzedakah. It's better to engage in a chesed shebegufo than it is simply to give a check. Shine Emar. Zaru lachem litzdaka, v'kitzru l'fi chesed. Im adam zoreya, if you plant, safik ochel, safik eino ochel. You never know if anything's going to grow. But if you're up to ready, as mehalcho and by harvest, kotzer, vaday ochel. You're certainly going to eat because you're harvesting the grain. So in relationship to chesed, it says, kitzru. In relationship to tzedakah, it only says ziru. And as a result, gemilus chesed is even greater than tzedakah. Tana Rabbana. Bishloisha devarim gedola gemilus chasadim yosem minat tzedakah. Tzedakah b'mamono. Tzedakah can only be done by giving a check. Gemilus chesed bein begufo bein b'mamono. You can do gemilus chesed with a check as well as doing something physically, bodily. You can do something, a favor for somebody, help someone out. Tzedakah is only la'aniyim. Gemilus chesed bein la'aniyim bein la'ashirim. Tzedakah is only l'chaim, to those who are alive. Gemilus chesed bein l'chaim bein l'meisim. Bein l'chaim bein l'meisim. The Omer Rabbi Lazar.
If you help pay for a poor person's funeral, that's considered gemilus chesedim. Is that considered charity? Charity is only when it's for a live person.
That's what he says. That's correct. The Omer Rabbi Lazar. Kol ha'ose tzedakah u'mishpat ki'ilu milei kol ha'olam kulo chesed. Anybody who engages in tzedakah and mishpat, it's as if he filled this entire world with chesed. Shine emar, ohev tzedakah u'mishpat, chesed Hashem mal ha'aretz. Shema tomar, perhaps you will say, kol haba likpots kofetz. You think it's easy for anybody in this world to what? To engage in chesed and tzedakah, tzedakah and mishpat rather? Talmud Loimar, Mayokar Chazdecha El Elohim. Chesed Hashem Al Aretz. If you are a precious person, namely, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make it so easy for us to have access to Tzedakah and Mishpat all the time. Yachal Af Yirei Shemayim Kein, Talmud Loimar, V'chesed Hashem Me'olam Ve'al Olam Al Yireyav. If you have, if you're at Yirei Shemayim, then the opportunity to do chesed is all the time. May olam v'yad olam al yireyav. Here I want to elaborate on this tzedakah u'mishpat. Because here the Rav said something, he didn't say it here, but this idea he developed at great length. There is a pasuk in Malachim, which says, "Vayhi beito David mishpatu tzedakah." David's household was characterized as being committed to mishpat and tzedakah. Mishpat and tzedakah. Just like here, Tzedakah u'Mishpat. Ask the Gemara, it's done Sanhedrin davav amidbet. Normally, b'makom sheyesh mishpat, ain't Tzedakah. U'b'makom sheyesh Tzedakah, ain't mishpat. Normally, under normal circumstances, if you dispense absolute justice, then you're not doing, again, not giving any charity away. Then one person is guilty, the other one person is innocent, and that's it. Ubamakam shiyesh tzedakah ein mishpat. But if you're going to be a charitable fellow, you know, you'll be able to give a little thing. You know, that's if you're going to charity, then you're not necessarily doing mishpat. So if you're going to say there's a rich person and a poor person, and what happens? You award the decision to the poor person, so you might be giving tzedakah, but it's not mishpat. So how do you have tzedakah and mishpat? Answers the Gemara, have a omer ze bitzua. It's compromise. It's pshara. It's pshara. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara quotes another very similar pasuk from Zechariah. Emet u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'areichem. Emet u'mishpat shalom. Truth and a peaceful justice reign supreme in your courts. Ask the Gemara again. B'makom sheyesh emet ein shalom. If there is truth, everybody can't be happy because one's going to lose. B'makom sheyesh shalom ein emet. Which one is it? Answers the Gemara, have a ze pshara. It's a compromise. So the Rav's point of departure was the following. I remind you of a week and a half ago, two and a half weeks ago, Kriyas HaTorah. Okay? Parshas Yisro. The Torah tells us that Yisro comes back with his Moshe's wife and his two children, and they reunite. And they have a nice feast. That they've made a feast. That Lechol Lechem, Elohim, everybody has Yisro, Moshe, Aaron, all the Zakenim having a wonderful feast. Now comes the next pasuk. Vayhimi Macharas. Vayeshev Moshe lishpotes ha'am, vayamod ha'am al Moshe min aboker ad arev. Take a look at Ibn Ezra. What is Vayhimi Macharas? The next day after Yisro arrived, surveyed the situation, how Moshe was teaching and everybody's staying on long lines, and therefore he comes up with his parsha, with his recommendation for va'atasechazeh, take sorry meya, sorry asor, very nice. Rashi, however, choose to go be'ikvot ha-midrash, vahimi macharas, moitzo yom ha-kippurim haya. It was the day after Yom Kippur. And Rashi then spends a long, long Rashi trying to prove that the first day available that Moshe Rabbeinu had to engage in justice was the day after Yom Kippur. Because what happened? On the 6th of Sivan, he went up to Har Sinai to get the Luchos. He spent 40 days on Har Sinai. That brings you to the 17th of Tammuz. He comes down, and he sees that they're worshiping the Egel, he smashes the Luchos. And he tries to repair the damage. He spends 40 days here trying to kill those who were guilty of it and pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what? That you don't kill everybody. Very nice. That takes you to Rosh Chodesh Elul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, come back up to Har Sinai Rosh Chodesh Elul, spend 40 more days, and I'll give you the second Luchos. That takes to Yom Kippur. Moshe comes down in Yom Kippur, and here are the second Luchos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I forgive you. Very nice. No, the first day that Moshe can have any Din Torah was Matzah Yom Kippur. Therefore, says Rashi, Matzah Yom HaKippurim Hayah. The Rav suggested, and I remember this very well because it was a terrible snowstorm, and it was the RCA convention, January 1972, in the Muncie Park Hotel. Nachami probably remember where it was. Muncie Park Hotel. And I had the good fortune of driving the Rav from the apartment to the Muncie Park Hotel. And it was a terrible snowstorm, but he came anyhow. So he said, I believe that Rashi is the Medrash is suggesting a much more powerful lesson than other than the first time that he had an opportunity to judge. He said, "We believe." What do we say on Yom Kippur? Le'el Orech Din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything laid out in front of him. So when there is a Din Torah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's court, it is possible for the judge to be absolutely certain that this one is guilty and this one is innocent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that. Everybody has that. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that. When it comes to, and what happens if you decide, engage in such a decision, what happens? So that you may have resolved the issue, but you did not resolve the conflict. In fact, the conflict between the two people may even be further intensified, because each one was claiming something, and you awarded the decision in front of one person, said, "Okay, buddy, you have to pay him $1,000. So the guy who had a fork over $1,000 is not going to be very happy. Not at all. But that was MS. That's what happened. Judges on this earth, says Shimon ben Shatach in Pirkei Avos, that how should Dayanim look at the litigants when they come into their courthouse? How? When the they should both be guilty, and when they leave, they should both be what? They're both innocent. How's that possible? A human judge has to recognize that even though he hears testimony, the witnesses could dupe him just like they can dupe anybody else. That these guys are bigger dupers than the other guy. So you believe these witnesses? It's very possible. So, what is the objective? What the Torah wants? The Torah wants that you should try not only to resolve the issue but to resolve the conflict as well. And therefore, the Gemara says that if you want mishpat and shalom or MS and tzedakah, what should you do? Always have pshara. So, if you have pshara, it means both of them are giving something. So when they entered your court, you're both guilty. Well, if you're both guilty, each one has to sacrifice something. This guy asked for 1,000, he's only getting 500. This guy expected to what? To make 1,000, he's only making 500. So both of them give something. And both of them hopefully will be able to live with the fact that the other guy didn't conquer me entirely. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu? And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in a judge. As the psukim say later, V'shafatati bein ish u'bein re'ehu. Says the Malbim, Shenish arim re'im afilu la'achar ha'mishpat. How is that possible? Only through pshara. Only through pshara. Said the Rav, where did Moshe Rabbeinu learn how to be such a judge? By going through the first Yom Kippur ever. What happens? Am Yisrael stand at Har Sinai, and they see Gilui Shechina, and they hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzaseich Eretz Yisrael, Lo Yeh Lecha Imachem Aponai. Right? And 6 weeks later, what are they doing? They're bowing down at the Egel. If you wanted to operate based on Alpidin, what is the halacha? That's it. You know, Hanichali, V'yicharapi, V'achaleim. Just, I'll kill him. That's it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, you're not totally guilty. I can see some positive in you as well. I can see some positive. Even though you worship the Egel, I know that there were many excuses. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there. You grew up in Mitzrayim for 210 years. You saw nothing but idolatry there. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us on Yom Kippur. On the one hand, it's impossible for anybody to justify themselves in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'enosh May Aloha Yitzhak. Can anybody justify their eyes and their case in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked you, what were you doing 6 weeks ago at 3:12 in the afternoon? I don't know. He plays the videotape, Warner Wolf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Warner Wolf himself. Plays the videotape. And he says, you were talking Lashon Hara at 3:12 in the afternoon. How are you going to... You can't defend yourself. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Atanosein Yad LaPaishim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we're not so corrupt. We're not all corrupt. We each have some redeeming qualities. And therefore, he makes a decision of a merger of Tzedakah and Mishpat, of Emes and Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself engages in Pshalom. And having gone through that first Yom Kippur, he now teaches Moshe Rabbeinu how you are to be a Dayan. And therefore, Vayhi mimacharas. Moshe goes through the first Yom HaKippurim. It's now the day after Yom Kippur. Vayeshev Moshe lishpot es ha'am. Moshe now sits down to judge the people. Says Rashi, was Motzei Yom Kippur. Why did it have to be Motzei Yom HaKippurim? So the Rav suggested because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to teach Moshe Rabbeinu how to be a Dayan. How to be a Dayan. And that's why that's what the Gemara said, and that's based on the merger of tzedakah and mishpat. And here tzedakah does not mean giving charity; it means tzedek, a sense of righteousness. But tzedakah and mishpat, mishpat is absolute din, and tzedakah is where you don't give absolute din. It's somewhat where you give away a little charity, but it's based on tzedek too. So that's that merger of those two ideals that we should always strive for, not to find only the negative components about people, not to assume that they're tzaddikim, but there's some way, somewhere in between is the way each and every one of us happened to survive. And then he finished it off, as he always does, finish up, says the pasuk, Vayamod ha'om al Moshe, min habayka ad arev. Says Rashi, ef shaloi makein. You mean to tell me the people stood online from morning until evening? And the Rav said, forget about whether it's physically possible. What exactly were the Dine Torah that he have to engage in? Was anybody in business? No business. What Dine Torah did he have to engage in? You know, the day after Yom Kippur, what were they doing? What was the Choshen Mishpat cases? What's going on here? What's happening? So Rashi says, Ella kol dayan shedan din emes la'amito ma'ale olav hakasov ki'ilu nasa shutaf b'maseh bereishis shene emar vahi era vahi voker yom echad. That when it says Minaboket Arev, it means somehow flashing back to Maaseh Bereishis, and that you become a shutaf b'Maaseh Bereishis by being a good Dayan. Shenei Amar Bo Vayer Vayivoker. So here the Rav, in his unique, inimitable fashion, interpreted what Moshe taught them was the lesson of Boker and Erev. Boker and Erev. Namely, we say every single Shabbos several times, Lehagid baboker chazdecha ve'emunas chabalilot. Boker always symbolizes a time when man can comprehend what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. We see something happens, we know why it happened, what lesson he wants to give us. Laila always represents the time when we can't fathom what's going on. So when we do understand it, baboker, we say lahagid chazdecha. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for clarity, for helping us understand what's unfolding in history. And when we can't understand it, we simply proclaim our emuna, our faith, amunas chabalelos. So Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to teach Am Yisrael the lesson of Boker and Erev. That there are going to be times in Jewish history, starting right now, right now, Motzei Yom Kippur, the first Yom Kippur, where things will happen and it'll seem perfectly obvious why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this. And then there will be other times in history, unfortunately, where you will never understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. And I ask you now to maintain a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through both tkufot of Jewish history. So what he was doing was not teaching them Cheshen Mishpat, because there are no Dinei Torah. He's teaching them how their life will unfold over the next at least 40 years in the Midbar, where certain things are going to happen and certain things they're not going to be able to understand at all. There'll be 38 and a half years where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not say a blessed word to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not a word for 38 and a half years. After the Chet HaMeraglim, zero, nada, until 40 years later. 30 and a half years, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears and he starts telling, okay, time to get moving, Teretz Yisrael. Who knows what was running through people's minds. So in that way, that's how the Rav interpreted this idea, this combination of Kol HaOseh Tzedaka U'Mishpat Kilu Mile Kol HaOlam Kulo Chesed Shneamar Oyev Tzedaka U'Mishpat Chesed Hashem Mala Aretz. So you got to read Rav from. Well, we get invited. Amar Rav Chama Bar Papa. Kol Adam Shiyesh Alav Chayn Biyadua Shehu Yirei Shamayim. Anybody who has a sense of chayn, I can't translate it in English. Either you have it or you don't. Chayn, that's it. It's very simple. So that's a person is endowed as well with Yirei Shamayim. How do I know? Shneemar Chesed Hashem Meolam V'ad Olam Al Yirei Av. So God fearing people, you can see their Chesed, their Chayin Meolam V'ad Olam. V'Amar Rav Elazar Ma'idich Siv Pia Pascha B'Chachma V'Soras Chesed Al Hashayna. Asks the Gemara. Is there such a thing as Torah that it's not Torah's Chesed? So that Shlomo HaMelech is praising his mother, Pia Pascha B'Chachma. And I have to tell you, this famous Rab Kiveger, this Mishle, this is from Mishle. So Rab Kiveger quotes a Medrash in Mishle, which says that we know that we're allowed to daven shachris until when? Arba Shabbos. Rabbi Huda's opinion was that our tefillot correspond to the actual time that the korban was brought. The Chachamim say we're allowed to daven until Chatzos, because Chatzos is the theoretical time when the korban could be brought. There's only one machlokes in Rav Yudin Acham in the Mishnah. All three cases of Mincha, Musaf, same machlokes. Says Rabbi Kiveger, only once in Jewish history was the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar bought as late as 10 o'clock. Opening day of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Kiveger quotes the whole Medrash. And he says as follows. He quotes this on the Gemara where Rabbi Huda says, Hey, Teid Rabbi Huda ben Bava. In Masechet Edios, Shekarban Tamid, Karei Ba'arba Shavs. Opening day of the Mikdash, the night before, Shlomo HaMelech throws this big party, and he invited the Egyptian Philharmonic Orchestra. And they played all night. Shlomo had a big party. And he went to bed at about 4 in the morning. At 6 o'clock in the morning, the Kohen Gadol knocks on the door, because he had the key to the Beis HaMikdash under his pillow. And Bathsheba answers the door and says, the king is sleeping, come back in an hour. Kohen Gadol comes back in an hour, knocks on the door, Bathsheba answers the door again, king is sleeping, come back in an hour. Comes back at 8 o'clock, same thing. At 9 o'clock, she had enough of Shlomo, she goes upstairs and wakes him up and gives him hell. You, my son, sleeping on the opening day of the Beis HaMikdash? And he sings Eishes Chayil to his mother for having rebuked him. Not to his wife, to his mother for having rebuked him. Says Rabbi Kiviger, that's the only day in Jewish history that the Karban Tumim was brought as late as 10 o'clock. Because the Kohanim was reasoning, when did they always bring the Karban? Hanetzachan. Had we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and that happened, we would have to be finished davening every day by about 6 o'clock in the morning. By sunrise, we'd have to be finished davening already. Thank God, Shlomo HaMelech slept late one day, and davened until they only brought the Karban Tumim Shashacha once at 10 o'clock. That's what the whole Eishes Chayil is, a praise to his mother who had the guts to rebuke him, the king, because he slept late on the opening day of the Mikdash. So the Gemara asks, Torah's chesed, chiyeshter and chesed, El, I don't quite understand this. Torah lishma, zuhi Torah shel chesed. Torah lishma, that's called Torah's chesed. Shelo lishma, zuhi Torah she'eno shel chesed. I don't quite understand what lishma has to do with Torah's chesed. I don't quite understand that. The second answer I understand. Ika da amri. Torah lilamda zuhi Torah shel chesed. Shelo lamda lilamda zuhi Torah she'eno shel chesed. There are people who learn and learn and learn, but they never give it back to anybody else. That's it. That's Torah she'eno shel chesed. But people who learn and then decide to teach it to others, that's called Torah's Chesed, and that's what Shlomo HaMelech means, that you should always be a pasuk v'soiras Chesed alushayna. That Batsheva not only learned, but not only a student of Rabbi Kiviger, but she taught her children as well what it means, and that's what Torah's Chesed is. Torah's Chesed. That was, those of you who know the Rav well, that was his motto. He could not, he could have sat alone and learned. He couldn't sit alone and learn. Of course he did. But his only real joy was to teach. Even during the summer, he used to invite students to Antsef, where he had this, like a bungalow colony or something, just to be with him a whole summer and to teach, because that's what he did. He had to have Torah's Chesed all the time. Saturday night in Boston, Sunday morning in Boston, come here, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in YU, Tuesday night, Congregation Maria, always teaching, always teaching. All right, we'll stop here. Next week we get back to regular Gemara.